That's 888-364-5433.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
The LP in KNNA-LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Have you had that lingering question you have wanted to ask a pastor, but never did? Or has someone ever asked you a tough question about God that you couldn't really answer? I am Captain Kirk, and I host the Y-Files every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. live. My co-host David and I ask guest pastors the tough questions every week. Whether you are an atheist, agnostic, a Christian, or a different religion altogether, this show is for you. Check out the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. live, or catch the replays on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m. The Y-Files. You don't want to miss it. As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've got a great episode for you this afternoon, which, by the way, we do this show, we try to anyways, every Sunday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And we ask guest pastors to come onto this program, and we ask them questions that can be tough, controversial, or even just simple for helpful understanding. Right, David?
That's right.
I'm Captain Kirk, and I am here with David, so say hello, David.
Hello, David.
As always, we have our dad joke to begin the show, and if we miss it at the beginning of the show, we always try to get it in there somewhere.
That's right.
So we've had all sorts of questions on this program. We have discussed the validity of the Bible. We have discussed the existence of Jesus and is Jesus God. We have discussed the Trinity, which I don't think we're done with that topic. We've also discussed sacraments, which I don't think we're done with that topic either. And we've had lengthy discussions lately with Pastor Salamink on that three-part miniseries about abortion and suicide and...
pretty intense. Pretty intense discussions.
They were pretty intense discussions, and I highly recommend going back to every single one of our episodes. Not just those. So this afternoon, we are joined by Pastor Poppy, who is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor Poppy, welcome back to the Y-Files.
It's a great honor and privilege to be here, gentlemen.
So,
and I said that with a smile on my face.
Yeah, you did.
So Pastor Salamink gets the really, really good, thought-provoking questions about abortion and suicide and all these wonderful things, and you stick me with karma.
It could be worse.
We gave the thought-provoking ones to Pastor Salamink, and we gave you just the provoking ones.
Okay. That I'll buy.
About 2 or 3 months ago, we did give a question about aliens to another pastor. Would you prefer to have that question, Pastor Poppy?
You got to remember how old I am. I grew up at a time when people actually thought the possibility of aliens on another planet was something besides science fiction. And so the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod put out a position paper.
No kidding.
No way.
Yes. I did not
see,
know
you
that. See,
you just have the wrong guest on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just have the wrong guest. You got to get somebody older than dirt like me. And bottom line, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod came out and said that if there is life on other planets, Jesus died and rose for them too.
Yep, and that's exactly what our episode talks about, too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you've missed that episode, you can go back to it. Pastor Eric Brown has done that episode. So we have topics here that aren't necessarily related, and one of them that, Pastor, you kind of just looked at me funny when I suggested this topic to you. Actually, David, I'll just go ahead and let you start the question.
All right. Question number one, is there such a thing as karma?
And I bring this up. I brought this question up because I actually came across an old coworker of mine who constantly claimed he did not believe in God. And, of course, I had all these snippet times to mention, well, yes, there is a God. And, of course, he's one of those people who doesn't like to listen. But then he would turn around and say, well, I better not do this because karma's going to bite me in the mm-hmm. bad word
buttocks,
and so I can't do this bad deed because this is going to come back at me. And I tried to explain to him how karma and why karma doesn't exist and how could it exist with somebody who doesn't believe in a God and all that kind of stuff. So I thought I would bring this up because this is a common belief among a lot of people out there, karma. So is there such a thing as karma?
Well, before we talk about is there such a thing as karma, about 3 Wednesdays ago, I preached an entire sermon on karma. So if we're plowing some of the same ground here on our program, if anybody listened to that sermon, you'll know where we're going to go and where God's word takes us. But, you two guys are a couple of young punks, and, for me, in my youth and growing up, the word karma did not even exist. And so before I talk about karma, maybe we could have a couple of 30-somethings define what you believe karma to be. Because I think if you had 15 people in a room and asked them what karma is, you would probably get 14 and a half different definitions. I'll take over now. David, how would you define karma?
As I understand it, it's sort of a basic principle of goes around, comes around.
Okay.
That's it. That's it, pretty much, as I understand it.
Okay. A basic principle of what goes around, comes around. I think a lot of people would agree with that definition of karma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Captain?
Yeah, it's the same response.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I can even say that the people I've talked to would have the same response as well.
So to flesh that out a little bit, if you are a good person, you can expect good things to happen to you. If you are a bad person, you can expect bad things to happen to you. Am I Am I defining this?
Yes.
In a contemporary way. Mm-hmm. And so let's just keep going with that then. So I can control, at least to an extent, of whether good things or bad things happen to me based on my behavior.
Sure.
Is that mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah.
Just want to keep going here with this. And, you know, karma, the word karma comes from Eastern religion. Mm-hmm. It is a Hinduistic kind of a thought. The power is within you. The god of Hinduism, you might want to picture as kind of a force or maybe even a serpent wrapped around your soul. And what you are doing is unleashing that power within you. And so whether karma comes from within you or from some outside force, you probably would get different definitions from people who are in Hinduism. But a lot of people that do yoga and are taught the different Hindu chants, most of them don't realize that yoga is a Hindu religious spiritual exercise. They're just trying to concentrate and lose weight. Mm-hmm. But it is a bait and switch thing. And so in that respect, there are a lot of people who are exposed to the word karma, to the idea of karma, from a variety of different ways. But is karma real? Well, in one very real sense, karma is real, because karma is nothing more than man-made religion. Karma is nothing more than trying to justify self. Karma is wanting to be in complete control and deciding the fate or the outcome of your life. And so in that respect, the old Adam is very real. Mm-hmm. Self-righteousness is very real. Is there some sort of a life force that is out there, be it God or a God or the triune God, that is sitting out there saying, David, he was pretty naughty last week, so I'm going to have some bad things happen to him. And Jim, he was even naughtier last week, so I'm going to have some catastrophic things happen to him. But old Clint over there, he tried really hard. He didn't do much, but he tried really hard. So we're going to give him a little bit of good. That kind of a thinking and that kind of an understanding of karma is pure nonsense. Or as my grandma used to say, bunk.
Hmm. Which you did say in your sermon.
Bunk.
Bunk.
Bunk. Bunk. Pure bunk. All right. I do, you know, just to show you how prevalent karma is, I saved a tweet. If you guys would wake up and get on Twitter, you'd be able to be much more
as David enlightened. Would say, we are not on Twitter.
You'd be much
there is
more,
no Twitter.
There is no Twitter.
You'd be much more enlightened.
Oh, sure.
But James Woods, the actor,
mm-hmm.
he is very, very active on Twitter, very, very politically active on Twitter. And yesterday, James Woods said, rightly or wrongly, this president has been the target of an unrelenting onslaught by the left from the moment of his inauguration to this very day. The Democrats should prepare themselves, regardless of the outcome of this political jihad. Truly, karma is truly a bee-itch on wheels.
Wow.
So, and you hear that phrase all the time. Karma
yeah.
is
karma's
you know,
a...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, fill in the blank.
So how popular, how common is it? Well, James Woods had roughly 43,000 likes on this particular tweet. And so the notion of karma and using karma to explain things in the world is very common, very common.
Well, as soon as I gave him the 1 minute, he's like, okay, I'll shut up now. That's rare.
I know, right?
Well,
it's rare for me. It's rare for me. So perhaps when we come back from the break, we can talk about why karma is so popular and why it is a like a religion of the heart a religion of the old Adam or the old Eve, and what is the antidote for karma. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You are all listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. We do have to take a quick break, but while we're on this break, go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files. Like our page, share our page, and comment on our page. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Five, six, seven, eight.
This is Ashley. And this is Callie. We're the host of Notes from the Stage, and we're here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
We love show tunes from musicals so much that we've decided to share just a few of them with you, like Lion King, Chicago.
Ooh. What? Well, don't forget about Wicked, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's going to be the bee's knees. So come join us right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m.
Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could. They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Okay, sorry about that. User error. I thought we had more time on our break, but we didn't. So welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And we've been discussing karma.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing as
karma? Karma, chameleon.
You know, when I hear that song, that's actually what I think of.
Yeah, well.
Even though that's not the words, but that's what I think of.
I think a lot of silly people do. Good old boy George, somebody about 30 years ahead of his time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, all right, so back to karma. You wanted to continue on with that topic. Why is karma so popular?
You know, we want to be in control of our own destiny, and at least to a certain extent, if I believe that this thing karma is real, then all I have to do is be good, be positive, and not be bad or be negative, and the positive vibrations. I hear that a lot.
Positive waves.
The positive waves. Yeah. I was over at Hy-Vee. Oh, this is a few years ago already, and somebody was sharing with me their problems, and I said, "I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you." She looked at me and said, "Don't pray for me. Send some positive energy my way." I don't know. I didn't know what that meant. If I should go buy an energy drink and throw it down the hall aisleway. I didn't know. But it's popular because, first of all, it comes natural. Mm-hmm. And second of all, because we want to be in control. If we submit to the providence of God, that there is a God who not only created everything, but controls everything, who not only created and controls all things, but Christians believe that he keeps all things. Like the old gospel song, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the whole wide world. There is something frightening and scary for a human being to think that he or she is not in control, and that you have to believe in some sort of a God who will either lash out good or bad. And so naturally, we assume that God works the way people do. Think of how we live our lives. We live in a system that is very close to karma. We live in a system that rewards good behavior and punishes bad behavior. Jim, with your kids, you and your wife reward the good behavior of your kids. Yeah, you can stay up another 15 minutes tonight. You got good grades.
Right.
And you punish bad behavior. You didn't eat your vegetables, so you're going to bed 30 minutes early. This is how the world works. Everything works this way. Crime and punishment, paying your taxes. Everything in the world is set up on this system of, for lack of a better terminology, blessings and curses. And so we assume that if God is in control, then God must work the same way. And that scares the bejeebers out of us because we know that deep down we are not really good people. We can hide it and we can pretend and sugarcoat it on the outside. Coming out of church today, I shook somebody's hands and I said, how are you doing? And they said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. And I think that's kind of how we act. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to know. We just kind of go through the motions.
Yeah.
We put a pretty face on everything. But if there is a God and he is perfectly fair, and that's what karma demands, perfect fairness. If he is fair, then that means I'm going to be punished. I'm going to be punished in hell. I'm going to be punished on earth. I'm going to be punished in between in some place called purgatory. And so many of the false religions and false religious thoughts come about. They may not call it karma, but they come about because of a karma-like misunderstanding of God. What we need and what Scripture reveals to us is a God who blows karma out of the water. God is not fair. If God was fair, Jesus would not have died and we would all fry in hell. But instead, in God's great love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace trumps fairness. He pours out his wrath that we deserve because of our sin, if we're in a karma system.
Mm-hmm.
He pours out his wrath on Jesus and not on us. Now that's not fair.
Mm-mm.
That's not fair. I don't know why we call Friday Good Friday. Wasn't good for Jesus, but it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so God blows karma out of the water. And now the opposite of karma is grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve forgiveness, life, and salvation, but he gives it to us anyway on account of the person and work of Jesus. The opposite of karma is mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we have deserved. What we have earned and deserved is hell. Mercy, God gives us not hell, but Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. So the absolute opposite of karma is grace and mercy. The absolute opposite of karma is a loving and compassionate God who doesn't give us what we have earned or deserved. He gives us Jesus.
Amen to that.
Amen. Yep. Good news.
Yeah.
The best news.
So, karma-esque questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, and I don't have anybody giving me any on the Facebook page right now either, so I think we're good. I think
it's
that answers
pretty clear.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Okay.
Do we want to move on to question two?
I do want to move on to question two because in a couple of days there is going to be a conference in Kearney, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Make that clear. Not Kearney, Nebraska. Kearney, Missouri, right? The AECLC conference that's coming
A-C-E-L-C.
Up.
A-C-E-L-C. You were close.
A-C-E-L-C,
you had all the, you had all the right letters. You just didn't have them in the right order.
Too many letters. Too many letters. So I want to get into the next topic because we did have a listener who wanted to ask the specific question in relation to the conference coming up. So go ahead.
This is listener submitted. What is unionism and syncretism?
What is unionism and syncretism? The quick answer is false worship. False worship. To be specific, unionism is when someone worships with other Christians, and we are talking about presiding at worship. We're talking about pastors or worship leaders here. We're not talking about visiting a different church or something like that.
Okay.
But pastors who have made their confession before the altar of God, like Pastor Moline will do in a couple hours here at Good Shepherd, but pastors who have made their confession before the altar of God that they will order all of their preaching and teaching and administration work according to God's word in the Lutheran confessions. Unionism is worshiping, having joint worship with other Christians of a different confession. So for example, if on a Sunday or Wednesday morning worship service we had a Methodist pastor and a Lutheran pastor and a Roman Catholic priest and maybe we'll throw in a Presbyterian deacon elder for good measure, to have that multiple leading of worship, that would be unionism.
Okay.
Sending a mixed message of what is truth. Syncretism is unionism, except not with other Christian denominations, but with other world religions. So if I'm holding a worship service and I have a rabbi and a Muslim imam, I think is the name, and a Sikh or something like that, maybe a Buddhist monk, that kind of a thing. So unionism and syncretism, in one respect, they're exactly the same thing. It's just the content. Unionism is Christians of varying confessions. Syncretism throws in the added dimension of world religions that are not even Christian.
One of the things I came across not even a week ago, somebody had mentioned how Christians are so, I can't think of the word right now, what he used, but Christians think everybody else is wrong. And that was one of the reasons why this person was not a Christian, because how can Christians not be accepting of other religions?
How can that person be so unaccepting as to assume Christians are wrong?
Oh, yeah.
See, it's just, it's the flip side of the coin. I tire of those kind of arguments.
Sure, but they're out there. So, I mean, are Christians, do they just don't listen to anybody and they tell everybody else that they're wrong and they're all going to hell because they're worshiping the wrong God? I mean, is that kind of how Christians are?
Well, I suppose some are. I mean, I can't speak for all. I can speak for Bible believing confessional Lutherans. Our authority is not other people's feelings. If it hurts somebody's feelings to speak the truth of God's word, I'm not even going to apologize for that. Our authority is Christ, the resurrected Christ, and the word that he has given to us. And so we make no apologies for the word of God. And the Bible, the word of God, clearly teaches that whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. Now, whether you like that or not, this is what God's word clearly teaches. And if Christians are sincere and they really believe that God is telling the truth, wouldn't the most loving, caring thing be to tell people that without Jesus they're headed to an eternity of fire? Wouldn't the most compassionate thing be to have the blinders and the scales fall off their eyes so that they could see Jesus and believe? That's where these other arguments that want to paint Christians as unloving, uncaring, blah, 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 they cannot see that if Christianity truly is correct, the greatest action of love is to proclaim that particularity of Christianity.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy here on the Y-Files. We do have to take a quick break, so don't go away. We'll be right back. But while you're out on this break, go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files. Like our page and share our page. Comment, too. We'll be right back.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
Every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., yours truly, old lovable Jack Kirk,
and me, Nancy, who Jack calls Princess Nancy, will take you on a quick musical walk back in time with the music of the big band era.
And we also bring you some of the history of those times,
along with the information on local Lincoln area dance bands for your listening and dancing pleasure.
Why not join Nancy and me every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on When Music Was Music, right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Welcome back to the Y-Files, everybody. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Clint Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska, which, by the way, is at 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516, if anyone is curious. You could also go to the website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. That's goodshepherdlincoln.org, and check out the website there as well. And
Jim, yeah, I have a burning question,
yes,
that I have to ask you.
Okay.
I know many of our listeners are probably wondering about it too. What is that you are drinking?
I don't think anyone's thinking that on the radio, since they can't see what I'm drinking. It's a sparkling water, flavor sparkling water.
But it looks like it has a grapefruit on it.
A lemon, to be precise.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well,
something dreadfully healthy is usually the answer to what are you drinking.
Oh, that is.
I have been.
That is the most nasty looking can I have ever seen.
That stuff
in my life.
Is great. If you like sparkling water, this is like treasure right here. It's amazing. Yeah, I've been trying to avoid soda pop, and this is a good way to do it.
You know what's good for that? Water. Just water.
Don't put logic into my brain. And
okay. All right. I hated to tear away from your train of thought there, but I just decided to go off on a tangent there.
We do that. Yep. You know, we do that on every radio program that we produce, I'm pretty sure. Except for when music was music.
No, not true. Because I produce that program, too, sometimes I have a little bit of off on a tangent bleed into into that show, too.
See?
So.
It's secretly the flagship of all programs.
Okay, so we have been discussing unionism and syncretism.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, isn't it? So you said you got more that you wanted to speak on that.
Well, there is. I mean, most denominations, if you ask most pastors in pretty much any denomination, what is unionism? They would say, "I have no clue." I have no clue. The term unionism is a distinctively Lutheran term.
Hmm.
And it comes from the forced Prussian Union in the late 18th century and early 19th century in Germany.
Hmm.
The reformed leader, king of Prussia, said, "I'm tired of all these divisions. I'm tired of all this warring. I'm tired of all this fighting. And so I am going to force, by law, a union of all the religions."
Whoa.
Which basically meant Lutherans and Reformed Christians would have to worship exactly the same way. Hmm. Now, the problem is the vast majority of Reformed Christians, Calvinistic, Arminian religion denominations, did not believe in baptismal regeneration, did not believe in the real presence in the Lord's Supper, did not believe that the pastor speaking the absolution was anything other than a pious wish. And so the liturgy that was forced upon the Lutherans reflected these things as well. A common hymnal, a common form of worship, all these things were forced upon the Lutherans. There were many Lutherans that went along to get along so they didn't get in trouble with the government.
Hmm.
There were some Lutherans who could not, because of their heartfelt convictions according to the word of God, that rebelled. Many of them got on three ships and sailed and ended up in the St. Louis area and became the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Huh.
So a part of the history of the formation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was to flee this forced unionistic worship put upon them by the Prussian Union. So this is a distinctively Lutheran word and a distinctively Lutheran memory with regard to that. But there is a reason why unionism is so bad. You know, I think a lot of people would probably say, "Oh, I don't see anything wrong with having the Lutheran and the Catholic and the Methodist up there. You know, can't we just all get along? You know, it's all about tolerance. And, you know, we have gridlock in Congress. Why do we have to have gridlock in religion?" Mm. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I suppose that's exactly what I thought. But as you mature in the faith, you realize what God's word teaches us about these divisions that are manifest with our denominational distinctions and differences. God's word says that divisions you will always have among you. And that is the only way where you can tell where the truth is.
Hmm.
Divisions over whatever the issue is help people discern where the true word of God is being preached, taught, administered in its truth and purity. So, in a seeming contradiction, God's word says, strive to avoid divisions. And divisions are necessary and help you to discover where the truth is. So you put those two together, and it doesn't mean that we should just ignore our divisions and have a happy, clappy, can't we all just get along, whatever you feel, whatever you like is fine for you. You have your truth, I'll have my truth. No. True unity is built upon the word of God, not the will of man, not upon emotions and feelings, but upon the word of God. So we seek to end all divisions by faithfully proclaiming God's word. God's word is the one that creates unity, not man-made religions and organizations. And so, one of the reasons why the ACELC exists, conference next week in Kearney, Missouri, is because of some issues that have happened in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They've been going on for a long time. They kind of reached a pinnacle after 9/11, mm-hmm. and Oprah Winfrey had a joint worship service at Yankee Stadium a few days later. It was a syncretistic worship service because yes, there was. Were both Christians and non-Christians involved.
Yep.
District President from the Atlantic District, David Benke, participated. And which was nothing new for him because he was always looking out for these kind of services to participate in to show how worldly he was. He had been busted earlier for this and called to account by President Barry, promised he would never, ever, ever, ever do it again, pinky swear. And then as soon as 9/11 came up, he jumped in line to get on there and caused a huge, huge division in our church body. Mm-hmm. Associate Speaker for the Lutheran Hour, Dr. Wallace Schultz, was called upon to mediate the conflict. He came out and, after much, much investigation, said that David Benke had broken both the first and the second commandments by his participation in this syncretistic worship service, and that he should be disciplined by our church body. Then Synodical President Gerald Kieschnick found an obscure bylaw that allowed for the Synodical President to, quote, call up for review, unquote, any decision that he didn't like. He vetoed or emptied Wallace Schultz's decision, and District President Benke was exonerated and continued to serve as District President, and that was supposed to be the end of the matter. But it has been a festering boil on the rear end of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ever since.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've come across is some people don't like going to church because of what you just described, because of the political tape or whatever else, just because it's part of an organized organization. So and I'm not really familiar with this myself, so it's kind of hard for me to explain, but if there's a church that's involved with an organization that can tell them what to do, they don't like going to church, they don't trust the church.
No, so that's because of the man-made religion of I want what I want, and I want it now. And in any kind of religion, even if it's a non-religious religion, something like sports or Amway, you have to give up your personal control. Mm-hmm. And that goes contrary to human nature and human reason. I've heard this before with regard to, I don't want to belong to a church. I don't believe in any organized religion kind of a thing. Well, most people don't realize that they are thumbing their nose at God because the church is not a man-made organization. The church is a gift of God. Confess the third article of the creed, and you know that the Holy Christian Church is not of man. It is of God, and God is the one who holds it together.
You're listening to The Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've got to take a quick break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you have questions you have been wanting to ask a pastor, but haven't for whatever reason, then here is your chance. You can send your questions to the Y-Files, where we will then ask your question on the Y-Files program on your behalf. Just go to the Y-Files Facebook page and submit a question. It's that easy. Tune in to the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. for new episodes. You don't want to pass this up. Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David.
David. Hello.
As Pastor Poppy said off air, you've been exceptionally quiet.
Not exceptionally.
Not exceptionally. But I am always glad that you were here, though. Always glad that you were here. So we have been discussing unionism. I can't say that word. Unionism and syncretism.
That's because it is such a sinfully terrible thing, you don't even want it on your lips.
Oh, my goodness. So one of the things that has come to mind, and I know you've kind of answered this already, if not already answered, but there might be somebody out there who listening to this or just started listening to this might be asking themselves, well, aren't Christians, or more specifically in this case, Lutherans, aren't they for peace? What's wrong with being accepting of other religions?
Well, again, it comes to your definition of peace. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I did not come to bring peace into this world. I came to bring a sword, and there will be divisions, mother against father and father against mother, and it just goes on and on about all these divisions that will be there. This is the same Jesus who is called the Prince of Peace. And so you have to define the kind of peace that you're talking about. First of all, Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he brings peace, i.e. the forgiveness of sins, to all who cling to him by grace through faith. His blood shed on Calvary's cross wins peace, true peace, reconciliation, forgiveness for the life of the world. When the world uses the word peace, it's usually kind of a synonym for just like, can't everybody get along? Mm-hmm. Can't we just all be nice to one another? The absence of hard feelings, the absence of war, I suppose. But it's just kind of this generic niceness. You know, everybody should be Minnesota nice. Now we have to have Nebraska nice, too, you know. We were so clever with our Department of Tourism, we couldn't even come up with our own motto. Yes. Oh, man, that's embarrassing. But surely I get off on a tangent and digress. But peace is what we want. True peace, the peace that is brought about by God's word in its truth and purity. And that is the kind of peace that Jesus came to bring and establish. That is the kind of peace that we go forward with today and always.
I have a question about unionism, or just the idea of different denominations gathering together. Is there a right way for denominations to interact? Like, is there a a way that denominations can work together and it not be unionism.
Yeah, I'm going to attack your question on two different levels.
Sounds good.
The first level would be what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a few other denominations call cooperation in externals. Cooperation in externals. Let's say there is a devastating tornado, hurricane, flood, earthquake. We can cooperate in externals with other church bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Christians reaching out in love and response to people who are hurting. We do not have to have an agreement on infant baptism or women's ordination to be able to help an earthquake victim. And so on that level, that cooperation in externals that reaches across denominational lines, we have to be careful because, you know, you send a team to go work on an earthquake response area, and what's everybody want to do after they've been there 3 or 4 days? Well, they want to have a church service. So then you're right back to the very problem that brought things up again.
Mm-hmm.
Another level of this is, how do you determine if two churches or two church bodies are in altar and pulpit fellowship so that you can cooperate? And that's the term that is often used in Lutheranism, altar and pulpit fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree on what we believe, teach, and confess or not? And we have several different departments in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, including but not limited to the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. So let's say, for example, the Independent Church of Lithuania thinks that they are in agreement doctrinally with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Leaders from that church will gather with leaders from our church, will look, talk about, discuss, and compare doctrines, and say, we are in fellowship. Or they'll say, we're close, but we don't agree on these three things. Or we're so far apart, we can't even talk fellowship at this time. So those kind of fellowship decisions and discussions are best taken place on a synodical or a larger church gathering basis, rather than individual churches trying to make this up. What complicates matters is you have independent churches. And some independent churches are not affiliated with any particular denomination. You know, you got like the Willow Creek churches. They're like a denomination unto themselves. Some Lutheran churches, while they may belong to a denomination, they pretty much act independently and do whatever the heck they want to do. So this complicates or muddies the water. Sometimes congregations, even some in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, because they are protesting certain abuses that are tolerated or promoted in our church body, they drop out of the synod and they become independent. So, is it okay for the Missouri Synod pastors to do things with them, for people to commune at their altars? This opens up a whole nother can of worms. And so, by having doctrinal affiliations in synods, denominations, that helps with regard to these kind of fellowship questions. Every visitor who comes into Good Shepherd, whether they belong to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or not, before they come to the Lord's Supper, I personally examine them, because that's what the Lutheran confessions call for.
Right.
I'm their pastor at least for that hour or for that day.
Yeah.
And so we do our best to take that very seriously here.
This kind of leads us somewhat into our next question, and I know we don't have a lot of time, so what I'd like to do basically is discuss a little bit about this next question, tease it, and come back to it at a later scheduled date for you, Pastor Poppy. So, David, would you go ahead?
Third question is, why do we sing hymns in church?
Sorry, not that one.
No?
Not that one. No, next one.
Oh,
next one.
The fourth one.
The much more offensive question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
That's why I was wrong. Not the next question, but the next question.
All right, related to hymns, why are confessional Lutherans stuck in their traditional ways such that they are not willing to have contemporary services with praise music? congregational numbers would go up and younger generations would be more involved in the church.
Yeah, well,
maybe.
that question is and I told this to Captain Kirk when he first gave it to me. I said, that question, just by how it's worded, it is so pejoratively worded and makes certain assumptions that are not true, that it is so highly offensive on so many levels that I said I'd like to tell him where to take that and put that question. However, I will pretend that I'm not offended by the very nature of the question. And golly, that is just, is so horrific.
I always do my best to ask the questions as somebody who's honestly asking,
well,
that, who may not be in my shoes. They might be an atheist or agnostic. You know, that's why all the questions I come up with always have to deal with something
that. Have you stopped beating your wife yet, Jim?
No, not yet.
See, I mean, that's the kind of question that is.
Hey.
And first of all,
provoking questions make good radio.
First of all, it makes the horrific assumption that we can grow the church by virtue of anything we do, whether it be a worship style or some other man-made thing. We confess in Luther's Small Catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I'll give you a poppy paraphrase. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, grow the church. How horrifically anti-Holy Spirit is the notion that if we play a certain kind of a music or the pastor dresses in a certain kind of a dress that we can grow the church. You might get more numbers in, but you ain't going to grow the church, because that's not how the church is grown. The Holy Spirit grows the church by the power of the Word and the power of the Word only. I think the real question behind the question behind the question, if we can get through all those layers of the onion, really has to do with the purpose of worship. Would you think that's kind of a fair way to get to that and maybe introduce this topic a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's going back to question three. Why do we sing hymns in church?
Okay. I would just remind our listeners that we do have a program on KNNA called At Home in Your Hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have spent a great deal of time talking about the theology of worship, why we do what we do as Lutheran Christians. Those are archived on our KNNA website, www.thecross957.org. And they're all labeled by episode numbers as well. And the first several episodes all talk about this topic. So if you want more, we'll give you the teaser now, but you can go back there and get that. The Heidelberg Catechism, which is the catechism that is used in many Reformed churches, has question number one. What is the purpose of man? Answer in the Heidelberg Catechism: to give praise and worship to God. How would Lutherans answer that question? That question is not in our catechism because it starts at the wrong place. How would Lutherans answer that question? What is the purpose of man? To receive the gifts of God. Worship is primarily about receiving, not about giving. Not about giving our praise, our prayers, our money, any of that. It's about receiving. And then, in joyous response, we give back. His love, our response. That sets the stage in the formation for where we go with why Lutherans worship the way they worship, and right, why Reformed Christians worship the way they worship.
Thank you, Pastor Poppy, for being on the Y-Files this afternoon. It's been a pleasure, as always. And look forward to the next episode that you're on to discuss more on this topic, which I know I'm looking forward to. So if you guys like what you've heard, this is the Y-Files. You can go to thecross957.org, and you can go to the previously recorded episodes and listen to those. And also, I put this entire episode on Facebook Live, so you can go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files, where you can always like our page, comment on our page, and share our page. We'd really appreciate that. And then you can look at Pastor Poppy playing with his mustache. So, thanks. Yes. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good week, Lincoln.